Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
It's always a blessing when we get to be together because there's always an outpouring from God that is just waiting for us to come into His presence. Some of that has to do with coming together as a church because we experience what Scripture calls a corporate anointing. That means specifically God comes where His people are gathered together in His name. He even honors two or three in doing that. But when we come on purpose to get together with the family of God, Papa shows up. Our Heavenly Father shows up. And what I mean by that is His Spirit comes with power and authority so that His Word can become a part of our lives. Today I want to talk about the Scripture again, the Word of God, and why we honor the Word the way we do as a church. One of the proud things I hear from time to time is that's the church that preaches all the Scriptures and they believe all of that stuff. Yes, we do. Now, we learn that we rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible is written to three groups of people. I've taught you that. One is the Jew, and the Old Testament is a picture of the Old Covenant, was written to the Jews, and Jesus came to the Jew first. He was the written word to the Jew first. Then He came to the Gentiles next that would hear His name and become believers. So there's the believers or the church, the New Testament church, those who have made Jesus Savior and are learning to surrender their lives to Him so that He can be Lord of all. That would be those of us who are gathered today and many, 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 many others. Then there's what the Scripture calls the Gentiles, and that's those that didn't come into the kingdom yet, or what we would call those still lost spiritually. Still waiting to learn of Jesus and quite honestly why they want to give their lives to Him. When we focus on the right things in the Scripture, the reasons why are very evident. We're in a new covenant. It's a better covenant. It put God squarely on our side. He is for everybody to come to Him and receive His best. He is the most forgiving. He's more forgiving than any person you can encounter other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who took on our sin and forgave us of it before we were ever born. And then He brought us into the family by giving us the opportunity to be born again. But that is just the beginning. Like the baby Julia before you this morning, she's still very close to her beginning. So she's got a lot of things to experience and a lot of things to learn and a lot of relationships to build. When we're born again, we're just at the beginning. We don't grow automatically when we're born again. We grow by choice. We grow according to the Word of God that we receive because that's our instruction. That gives God's permission to intervene in our lives and that stops the enemy from getting away with mischief. So we grow up, we can grow up in a protected way if we value God's Word. So in this church, we value, put our highest earthly value on God's Word because Scripture says the living Word, when it's preached in an anointing, represents the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It is Him conveying His thoughts, His heart, His will to His people. God says that He will use the mystery or the foolishness of preaching. So preachers have to have a little bit of willingness to be foolish in that we represent a God bigger than we are, greater than we can comprehend with a word that does more than we'll ever understand. That makes us a little bit foolish, but He chooses us to represent Him because there's something He does. He brings an anointing so it comes out and you can understand that's Him talking. That's just not old pastor up there making something up. Now to make that clear, I tell you where things are in the Bible that we're looking at because you should want to look for yourself because that's Jesus to you. And what you'll discover when you start to look at it more is He will speak to you more. Many times people will ask, and I think it's the most common question that I am asked, how then can I know the voice of God? Well, you can ask, but the easiest thing to do is study the scripture. Then when he speaks to you in your heart, you're going to know it's him because you recognize him by his word and the things he says in his word. He's a keeper of his word. He will never tell you something in conflict in person that differs from the written word. So we study the scripture so that we will know the voice of God when he speaks to us, and we won't ignore it and think that it's just our own little mind. Because God will many times intervene in a way that we would not have thought. It wouldn't make sense to us if we tried to figure it out. And it pays to know his word, because then you'll more easily know his voice. So this series to me is one of the most important foundation pieces we have to understand as a church. It's why we do this, and pastor's unwilling to have an express drive-through service. Because in a drive-through service, I can't teach you anything. I can just stir you up and make you feel good. Well, you can get that from television, or you can get that from eating your favorite food, or you can get that from something else. And it'll wear off quickly. The Word of God's eternal. I'm not pretending God doesn't use other people. He uses as many that will call upon his name. But a major, and one of my life majors, is to be able to bring you the word of truth with the anointing or the unction of the Holy Spirit. That means that no matter what I come to say, I let the Holy Spirit say it his way as much as possible. And when we come to know the Lord, we get better at that. We recognize when he's trying to say something. Now, I've brought up before that the word of God will bring you into conflict somewhere. Either a conflict of something you've not received yet, or something you've not changed about you yet, or something you maybe don't like when you hear. That's what the Word of God's supposed to do. Scripture says it comes in like sharper than a two-edged sword to divide asunder God's thoughts and our thoughts, so that we can know what he thinks and compare it to what we think. And we're not going to change God's mind. His word is forever settled in heaven. Jesus in person is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When there's a conflict, we're the ones he wants to change when we adopt his word and his values. So church is a changing place. You remember me talking about the open locker room feeling you're going to have once in a while, thinking, oh, everybody here knows I don't have it together in that area. Or not everybody knows, but the person sitting by you knows. You know what? That's all of us in areas of our life. And when you think you've grown and you've matured, you'll see that there's another level of growth and maturity. And what we learn is what spiritual humility, true humility is I'm going to hear God's word and let it change me, even if other people see what's going on. It's all right. Because really that metamorphosis encourages everybody else. While I see God working in them, maybe there's hope for me after all. And when you've experienced somebody's testimony and seen them set free, and you know you need that, it's easy to talk to them about what you need because you've seen God do a work. So don't be secretive about the transformation process. Scripture says we're to look to God's word with an open face as in a glass. He says that in James, or in a mirror. And as we look with an open mind in the mirror, considering God's word, we'll be changed from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. That means we'll go through phases of change. The important view is not really what other people are looking at as you change. It's what you see when you look in the mirror. Because what you begin to say from your mouth of God's word will give you the ability to look in the mirror and see yourself changed before it really happens. We call that the eye of faith. So you begin believing God's word and you look in the mirror and say, Heavenly Father, your word says I can have whatever I say. Your word says that I'm the healed and anointed one of God. And you might see out of the corner of your eye in the mirror the same old broken body you saw last week. But through the eye of faith, when you look yourself in the eye, you see yourself healed and whole. Why? You have an imagination that God gave you as the seat of faith. And if you will feed that imagination, it happens in your mind. There's not a mystery to receiving from God. It's understanding that spiritual truth has to be planted in our mind, and we begin to say it. And as we say it, we convince ourselves to believe it. And when we're looking in the mirror, we begin to imagine what life looks like transformed. Now, sometimes what's in the mirror starts out pretty broken or pretty ugly. And we have to spend some time abiding in the Word for our spiritual eyes, our spiritual vision, our spiritual glasses to be greater than our natural eyes. Scripture says, and it means it prophetically, that in this world, when we get ready to go to heaven, the things of earth grow strangely dim. When we're living a life of faith, the things that we see become strangely dim, and the things God promised becomes bigger. His promises become bigger in our mind. God gave us the ability by believing and saying His word to displace the ravages and the work of the enemy. Whatever's broken, whatever's ugly, whatever's missing, whatever's hurting, He has a promise to help fix that. Sometimes we don't know what the promise is. Sometimes we find it too hard to believe. But He says we can become a believer if we hear and hear and hear the Word of God on that. I want to clarify, you can read and read and read, and it's not the same thing as hearing and hearing and hearing. So when you're reading and there's nobody preaching what you need to hear, become the preacher. Understand a scriptural principle. The power of darkness is broken by the preaching of the Word, not just the hearing of the Word. The preaching or the speaking is the doing of God's Word. The power of God doing something is released when He hears His Word come from your mouth. You are saying, I'm God's child, and I'm acting on His authority, and He said, this is who I am. So I'm going to talk about who I really am instead of what it looks like I have become or what it looks like I have not yet attained. And I'm going to tell you that Scripture tells us to boldly proclaim the truth. You don't need to be concerned about being a bold witness to everybody else. Be bold witness to yourself of the truth of God. And your transformation will be witness enough to speak the words of Jesus to people. And they will ask you, what is going on with you? You will become that fascinating. Why, the risen Lord Jesus was fascinating. The Jesus in the flesh was interesting. But when He rose from the dead, He was fascinating. That's what the Word of God will do in your life if you choose to believe it. And take on what Scripture calls the discipline of speaking God's Word for yourself. I've heard many people say through the years, well, Pastor, I don't like it when other people confess bad things over me. Forget about that. Other people's words don't have a bearing on you unless you choose to believe it. So when it bothers you, it's proof you don't believe it. But rather than let it bother you, speak out what fixes you. Speak out what makes you happy. And then maybe you go tell them in a loving tone, well, I know you mean well, but this is my position on that. I'm changing and my life is transforming. And Scripture says He's turning me into a new being, a new creation. And I believe that. So I'm sorry. So far I seem to have failed, but I'm about to experience a great bit of success because God's Word's forever settled in heaven. And I believe that. And see, then you've set the record straight, you've protected your faith, and you've encouraged the other person. You don't need to bring correction. You just need to share the direction that you're on. Direction always blesses people. Correction usually sets people back a little bit. So major on giving direction. That's what God's Word does. When it hits us, we might be receiving correction, but to everybody else listening, it's just God giving direction to His children. If you're one of three like I was, and one kid really did the misdeed and was going to get in big trouble, all three heard the speech, but one knew it was directed more to them. But everybody learned from the experience, and the times it wasn't you getting in trouble, you said, thank God it wasn't me. But when you were the one getting in trouble in our house, you put on another couple pairs of underpants to get ready for the spanking. That's a true story. This morning, I want to share some scripture with you because so far I'm exhorting you. Why, the word carries a lot of different anointings. One is to exhort. That means to try to encourage you to change your mind, to try to encourage you to open up your heart. And this morning, I want to open up your heart to let God's word, the scripture, be the highest authority in your life. Because of the scripture, again, particularly the New Testament, is Jesus, the living word, who is still among us in spirit. So when we speak his word in faith believing, his Holy Spirit comes in like a flood to displace the works of the enemy. Today you're about to experience a flood of his love and his faith in you speaking his word. He loves it when you do it believing. This morning we'll jump off in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23. My son, or he's talking to his family, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Life, God's kind of life, to those who find them. So when I preach, you have to do the finding. And then it will bring health to all your flesh. He said all. I choose to believe that. Why? His words forever settled in heaven, and he picked me for my foolishness. Scripture says so, or I wouldn't be a preacher. So I'll just be foolish enough to believe the whole shooting match while I'm at it. Why? The foolishness of man is the beginning of wisdom with God. To say, what do I know after all? He knows more than I do. So I just choose to approach my Heavenly Father that way. He knows he made me simple so I would accept him so that I could experience something great. He did that on purpose. That's what he loves us to recognize. We're not much in ourselves, but when we get a hold of him, he does something with us. It's pretty amazing. For they are life unto those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart flows the issues, the direction, the blessing, the outflow of your life. So he's saying if we get his word, his ways in our heart, the outflow or the things that we're involved in will begin to be transformed as our heart is changed. Many times we pray ahead of our heart. We're praying for something that we see in the scripture God means for us, and we begin praying, Lord, I believe that you can heal me. I see Jesus is my healer. Well, it's one thing to believe it because we've heard it. It's another thing when we abide in his word long enough that we are convinced, that it begins to flow out of our heart. And I shared with you about being healed from asthma and breathing problems, miraculously, amazingly healed, where the doctor said I would never experience that. They were wrong. God's word was right. And that happened just by being saturated with God's word. I'm going to tell you what I see the scripture says is all things are possible to him that believes. Now, I can't explain what happened while I was a believing, and it doesn't matter to me. The results came. See, it doesn't matter to me. I've learned that I don't have to figure everything out. I'm kind of simple that way. I just want it to work. I'm not mechanical. I'm really simple that way. When I get in my truck, I want it to crank. Now, I know what a lot of noises and lights flashing would mean if something goes wrong, but I just want it to work. When it comes down to it, God made us that way. We're just supposed to want life to work. When we get frustrated, there's a way to deal with that, and God's word shows us how. If we'll put our full faith and trust in the person of the word, the Lord Jesus, that means to believe God's word, you are making Jesus Lord of something else. That means if there's anything that bothers you, that you feel like isn't right about you, Jesus wants to be Lord of that. Oh, but I've given it to him. I've prayed 1,000 times. He's already given you what you're asking for, but you have to find it in the scripture. Say, here's my promise. Now I see it. So now I have it in Jesus' name. And pretty soon that act of faith will cause circumstances to change and the outflow of your life will change. Many times we're praying for the results, but we don't deal with the cause. Your heart, your mind, is the soil God gave you to plant His Word in. Your mind is a good mind because He calls it the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, it's fertile soil for one thing predominantly. That is that you plant God's Word in the heart of your mind. Because in the mind of Christ, it means you're renewing your mind to what the Scripture says. And you can say, I believe that because the Bible says it. It must be true. What I'm experiencing is a fact, but God's truth is better than my fact. I choose to believe the truth, and that truth can set me free. Now, some more verses to support this. Jesus speaking, and Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Without Him, we can't do anything. Without Him, we're not a part of the family. Without Him, we don't have access to the Heavenly Father. And this wonderful thing called spiritual DNA can't get into our mind by God's Word except we believe on Jesus first. So Jesus said this in John 6:63. He said, the words that I speak unto you. So I pay close attention to things that Jesus said that we have recorded in the Word. He said, they are spirit and they are life. That's a clue. Actually, that's a huge chapter in the book of knowing the Lord Jesus. If we will listen on the inside, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit will let us know that's for you. That's for you. Sometimes you don't have a need yet, but something's for you. Because the need's going to come tomorrow and the Holy Spirit knows it. And you just have an idea today, well, I'm doing good today. And then tomorrow you wake up and think, well, they just talked about that yesterday. Why didn't I know this was going to happen yesterday? The Holy Spirit did try to tell us, you see. So we'd be ready. So we'd hear the word of faith that would help us. But He says, my word is spirit. My word is life. Life to who? Spirit to those that find it. If you want the outcome, you'll hear the word. I'm going to tell you what preaching really does is it plants the seed in you. And what happens is the seed immediately begins to grow and it tickles you on the inside. It gets a hold of your mind. It's planted in your mind. Why? This is not a natural thought. This is a God thought. The God thought gets in your mind and says, hey, I'm supposed to be here. The God thought says, hey, listen to me. The God thought says, let's change your mind about something. And if we can change your mind about something, we can change your life about something. And we begin to entertain God's word in our mind more than our own thoughts. Or we displace our thoughts with God's thoughts. We displace our sick vocabulary with a healed vocabulary. Why? That's what God's Word does. It does the things we can't do for ourselves or on our own because God's Word is God's medicine. And that seed has in it new life. All it has to do is be watered a little bit in our mind and given half a chance. It doesn't need our full attention. It just needs a little meditation space. You don't have to have rain on the garden every day, but you want it every week. You got to have something to get a harvest, and we have to learn to manage the word that way. But you know, if you want a little faster, water a little more often. I'm telling you a secret. You want a little bit more, just do a little bit more of that. Why? God's results in your life are regulated by two things, the help of the Holy Spirit and the authority in God's word. You have control over both for you. And when you give your will to God, man, can He do something. So this is to encourage you. John 15, for many people, is a very scary passage because it's about the vine and the branches and branches getting cut off when they don't bear fruit. Jesus Himself said, if, in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall have whatsoever things you will. You'll ask. Father will give it to you. He said, it shall be done unto you. When something is done unto you, somebody else is doing something to you. So God Himself causes His Word to do something to you. Sometimes we think we've got to produce something. No, when you speak God's Word, you've taken what's on the inside and you've put it in the atmosphere. And it allows God to move on your behalf because you've broken the authority of this world, the powers of darkness in this world, what the Scripture calls principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. You don't have to pray till you're blue in the face. You just need to speak some word. And when you don't know what else to say, you say, I have authority in Jesus' name. I'm not having what the enemy has in mind. In Jesus' name, I'm receiving the blessing of God. Then go dig up some blessing to talk about. Look at or call somebody. Say, I'm believing God to help me in this area. Give me some scripture. That's why we have elders in the church. Call them. Scripture says to. And it's their responsibility to share the word with you and pray with you. A prayer, what kind of prayer? Prayer of agreement. Why, they're going to agree with how you're praying because your will is involved, you see. And really, the outcome is controlled by your will. If anything's not going to come, our will is involved there. We have to say, was I just not willing to get God's word on this? Many times we just didn't have the right seed to plant in our mind, to water and to think about. So you can plant it in mama's mind or your spouse's mind. It isn't going to produce for you in somebody else's mind. We each have the mind of Christ if we choose to. And the more we put His anointing in our mind, the more results we get, and the faster we get them. Now, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that word abide means sticks with you all the time. You know, when we were kids, breakfast always consisted of one food group that was supposed to stick with us until we got school lunch. That was usually oatmeal. Back then, I didn't like it much. Today, I like it a lot. Why? It does kind of stick with you. Understand God's word will stick with you forever so long as you allow it to abide in your thinking. God's word works like this. If you quit abiding, it starts to slip further and further away from your mind. And you might have a distant memory of, well, I remember there's a verse on this, but I don't remember where it is. Well, your abiding's been trimmed back or cut off. So what do? I admit it. Say, Lord, I should know where that is. I better go find where that is. And I get back into abiding. Why? You're in a natural world. Your mind without Jesus anointing, it is a lost mind. You're going to forget some stuff. So, well, why do I have to forget God's word? Because the devil wants you to forget that faster than anything else you can forget. Why? It has the power to transform your life and make you be more and more like Jesus. So what do we do when we've been a little bit lax, but we have this memory? I remember hearing that before. I remember Pastor said that somewhere last year. Where was that in the scripture? That's why we provide the notes to you after every service. So you can go back and dig them up. So what you've been throwing in the trash bin after it wears off, you might need later instead of waiting for God to bring it to Pastor to teach it again. Why, to teach all of God's Word, I have to have a different sermon every day. We never cover everything. Why? That's the layers of goodness He has for us in the Word. Now, He said, if you abide in me, so not just His Word, but talking to the Lord Jesus Himself. Jesus, your Word says, by your stripes I'm healed. Now, you wouldn't put that in the Bible to confuse me. You didn't put it in there to make me the exception. You didn't put it in there to make me feel guilty or feel bad or think I've sinned because I'm not getting healed of something. You put it in there to tempt me into believing. Now, I am tempted to believe this. And then you put that temptation seed in your mind of God's Word. Why, His word's forever settled in heaven, but it'll change your mind. Why, it's not earthly, it's a heavenly truth. See, before the fall of man, before Satan took advantage of Adam and Eve in the garden, and I say it that way rather than just they sinned, both happened. Satan was looking for a foothold in humanity, and he planted the seed of doubt and unbelief in their mind. You have the product of doubt and unbelief called the sin nature in your mind until you put God's word in there to boot it out. So faith removes unbelief. We see the Apostle Paul crying out in the scripture saying, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Why? He was in the process of God's seed, God's word growing in his mind, So he could really believe, but he wanted to say, I'm a believer. You're going to find a conflict like that, where you have two different things you can choose to believe. One, the things that make sense to man lead to destruction. But the things that are God's word lead to life and life everlasting. Jesus said so. So we can choose to believe what we want to. It's amazing sometimes when people don't want to believe the scripture. They'll say, you can believe that, that's all right for you. I'm going to believe what I want to. And I think, okay, that's the real line in the sand and I'm not drawing it. I want people to believe what God says is true. So whenever you hear something in the church house and you think, well, I'm not ready for that yet. You really are. You better change your mind. You want the blessing and the benefit that goes with doing God's word. And you want to start abiding on that thought. It'll make you mad at first. I would imagine if the dirt could speak when the plow rolls over it to break the ground, it'd be crying out, that hurts. What are you doing to me? And then when the field cultivator comes, what are you running over me again for? Why? Life is in the seed, not the soil. So don't be concerned about what the soil is feeling, your mind is saying to you. Just say, you need this seed because you're going to produce a harvest. And we're planting in you, and by golly, you're going to grow in Jesus' name. Now, well, we've kind of introduced things now, and we got 11 minutes before I'm supposed to be done. So I'm glad we're in a series. Thinking this way will take hope and convert it to faith. At the hearing of God's word, you'll first choose hope if you want to believe it. And at the first believing of God's word, hope is stirred. Maybe a little. Maybe you don't only need one seed. Maybe you need a bushel of seed in that area. And hope begins to grow. Hope eventually will be converted to faith when you begin to say God's word. There is no faith until you say it. Faith is expressed in a verbal word. God created the earth and everything in it by saying, and you will restore his perfect will in your created life by saying God's word. And you are saying God's word is greater than any other word, including my own word. I give you full and final authority. Then the power of God will not be bound against you, but it can work on your behalf. When he talks about powers and principalities, he's talking about the works of darkness that stop you from receiving the light of God to change your mind and change your way and change the outcome. So God's word does all of that, but converts hope. And I don't want to be a church filled with hope. We should have some hope going on all the time. For anything new that you've not heard before, that you hear preaching or teaching, and you can find it in the scripture, it'll stir hope. But if you don't turn any hope into faith, you're going to feel really sad that things aren't working for you. God's not moved by hope, you see. We are. Hope moves us into faith. God's moved when we place our faith in him, in our trust in him. So if you find yourself praying, I sure hope God honors his word for me, he wants to. He's hoping that you'll grow enough in his word to have faith and say, Jesus, I've got it. You did that for me when you rose from the dead. I believe that I receive it now, and I am having it right now. Healing is mine. And you look in the mirror and you do the crazy stuff. People think you do it in privacy of your home or in your vehicle. I look in the rearview mirror and do this once in a while, briefly, very briefly. I tell myself what I've received from God and that I'm enjoying seeing the transformation as I look into God's word. I tell my wife and my body and everything about me, you're being transformed into God's best in every way that you can have it. And I start quoting the word. You know what? It always makes me happy. When God's word gets in our head enough, it's a source of joy and happiness. It's meant to help us get out of the blues when we look in the mirror and at first glimpse we go, oh, dear God, help me. He's there to help. All he wants us to do is choose to say what we believe instead of what we see, and pretty soon what we see is going to change. That's his promise. When you think about it, that's better than any magic trick, because it's real, you see. Want to stir your faith in God's word. Well, when we submit to God's authority in this way, we have access to his power. So when we open an altar to pray for any given thing, you want to access the authority in Jesus' name with a prayer partner. That's really why we have an open altar and people to come to the altar to pray. It's whatever's on your heart to receive from the Lord. In any service, when you hear or you've heard it in a prior service, say, I want to get that. I believe that in my mind now. I'm in the process of receiving that. Someone will pray with you. It's called a prayer of agreement. But they can't just pray willy-nilly, look at you. I mean, you might think God's going to tell everybody what you need, but you're supposed to do that, not expect everybody to know. So you say, well, I'm here because today I want to receive this from the Lord, and I want you to agree with me. The next question is, well, what scripture are you standing on? Because we can only agree with God's word. We can't agree with your desire. We've got to know that it's God's desire too. So what do? We try to help you find what that is. So you say, well, dear God, I'm never going to the altar because I won't know any scripture. The people in the altar do. And that's one reason to come. Find out seed that applies to you. And hear it and say, now, where was that again? And you might say, now, text me after church and tell me where it is again. Well, you're going to go back and get that seed and plant it again and again and again. Because faith for you is a personal matter. You didn't get it from somebody else. You're getting it because you're interacting with Jesus about the truth of his word, and he imparts the spirit of faith into you to receive what he promised you. And that's a personal matter. So what do? We don't get it because we go to church. We don't get it because we believe the preacher. We get it because we believe on Jesus, who is the word we just heard spoken, and we negotiate with him. Jesus, I believe that's for me. You're not teasing me or tormenting me. You told me that so I'd want it bad enough to come to you to get it. So here I am. If there's anything wrong with me, let's get to fixing it right now. Because sometimes he'll tell you. Did you know the seed that you need to heal relationships is commonly forgiveness? Scripture, Jesus himself said, if you forgive, I'll forgive you. So many times you're praying for God to restore a relationship, and he wants to. He's always wanting to do good. But sometimes, even in a different relationship, we're holding a little grudge. Or we have a little, scripture calls it a schism. That means a toothpick-sized issue. Did you know the little toothpick in one relationship can prevent restoring the great gulf of division in another? Because God doesn't look at our situations in relationships the way we do. He just says, supposed to walk in love and love everybody. But somehow we think the ones we love we're good with, and the ones we have an issue with, oh, well, eventually I'll forgive. You'll see a breakthrough in your most difficult places if you start fixing all of their relationships. So when we start to study God's word, we discover, and I've said this the last few weeks, we discover how ungodly our thinking has been in some areas, and we thought we were okay. That's the beginning of the locker room feeling of, oh, I'm uncomfortable with that. I should have just made somebody uncomfortable about a relationship. Because God's word is showing us when he makes us uncomfortable, it means he has a fix for that. That means our discomfort is causing problems in heaven fixing something for us. And we need to just obey him. And what happens is our joy becomes full if we listen to everything that he shows us to do. Now, this is Romans 8, 28 through 30, and probably the last reference of the day, which is sad to me because I have a lot of good things left on the paper, but you can get them when you leave, and we'll not leave them out. See, there's enough respect and love for God's word in me to preach the rest of my life every day about the subject. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation. Not just to save us from the works of the enemy, but to save us to the blessing of God. I'm not content to just not have the enemy mess with my life. I want to receive whatever Jesus had in mind, and I don't think we know the tip of the iceberg yet. That's what I'm discovering. I think his blessing's so great, I don't think our mind can really get it. Why? We've got a fallen mind. The only way we fix it is to get the mind of Christ. And we work on that all the time. And if we don't keep converting that mind, it fades away. We start to forget God's word. Have you ever wondered, why is it I forget scripture faster than anything else? It's because the devil will fight that more than anything else. That's the truth to fix everything. So he doesn't want you to have that. That's the keys to the kingdom Jesus was talking about. Did you know that? That's the key to every heavenly commodity that there is, to bring it from heaven and to the earth into your life. Your only way to bring the blessing of God into this life for others is it comes through you. You're the vessel. You're the one God designed to believe in. So he didn't make you to not be a believer. He made you to be an extraordinary believer, or you wouldn't have received Jesus in the first place. That's the hardest one to believe of all the promises of God. He came for me and loved me while I was yet a sinner and died for me and rose from the dead, went to hell and took the keys, went to heaven to make a place for me and sent his spirit to live in me so I would have God in me all the time. That's the hardest one of all to swallow, and you took the pill. That didn't sound quite right. You believed on Jesus to be saved from hell and destruction. Did you know it's easier? You have now been reprogrammed with the mind of Christ. That's the anointing. To believe what the scripture says is for you. It's our own mind that says, I don't know. I don't know if I can have that. I don't know if I'm good enough. It isn't about you being good enough. Jesus was good enough. Jesus satisfied the Father. We get it by his substitution, not by our goodness. Thank God, or we wouldn't deserve a thing. We'd still deserve hell. So what do we? We just recognize it's the goodness of God again that leads us to salvation. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know all things work together for the good of them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's the most misquoted verse I have heard in my generation. Because we want to stop there. His purpose is what his word says. You want everything to work together for you? It will only in that you abide in his word in that part of your life. So I'm telling you a divine secret that shouldn't be a secret at all. If you need something to change, find God's word on it and abide in it until the seed in your mind is bigger than the circumstances you're seeing with your eyes. And you'll look in that mirror one day and you will see through the image you see now into the image you know God is giving you. And you will see what transformation looks like. It works spirit, soul, and body. He does it. Why? He saved all of you when he saved you, so much so that when Jesus comes again to take his church, he said, those that are dead and their bodies are in the ground, the bodies aren't going to stay behind. Why? Even your body, even though it has to die once, is consecrated unto the Lord, and it'll respond to his word. Do you know that? It'll respond to his word in anything. We just have to abide in that word long enough. So, well, why is it so hard? It gets easier as you go. Why? You start to get results, it gets easier. You go out and be the first farmer to plant the experimental corn, everybody will point and laugh and look and roll their eyes and wonder, is that going to amount to anything? That's a new company. They don't, you know, all their people, you on their website, they're all young, look like they really think they know something, but what could they possibly know? But then in the fall, see, I saw this happen in Gibson City. We've got corn out already for a few weeks around Gibson. I think 3 weeks ago they started over there. Well, it's real dry. But the first farmer is always the first farmer. In Drummer Township, he's always the first to plant corn. He's always first to harvest it, whether it looks like it's ready or not. But I went to leave town to the east that day in my pickup truck. I saw 7 trucks all watching this farmer harvest corn, looking at the corn coming into the hopper, trying to guess what's his yield. Well, it wasn't so much experimental variety. It was an ugly season. People will look at your life and try to figure you out. But when you plant the God seed, the God variety, and you get enough water to it, you're going to have the yield everybody will talk about. Let them point fingers on the short term. It won't hurt anything, see. Now, for whom he did foreknow, in other words, he knew you before you knew about you. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You have been set up to look like, to sound like, to act like, to be like Jesus. In other words, it's God's expectation that we learn how to do this. It's God's desire when you're experiencing something that is wrong for you to get to experience what is right. It's God's desire if there's something broken that it be mended. If something is sick about you, that it be healed. If something concerns you in your relationships, that God can get in there and not just patch it up, but fix it as though nothing was ever wrong. Why? He's not natural in the fix. He's supernatural. So why do I share these things with you? I want to stir your faith in God's Word. Not your faith in pastors preaching today. You listen to what God says to you, no matter what the style of the preaching or who's bringing it. I've been in the company sometimes of new preachers that haven't done much of it, but they'll say something that will just whoosh, and grab me. Why, they said it differently. They said it, my ears were poised to hear something good. If you come to church and think, oh, well, I'm doing my God thing, and I want to watch football this afternoon, and, you know, did we buy enough pizza, and, you know, are the kids coming over? And you'll be thinking about everything imaginable, and that seat will go by the wayside for you. But if you just get it, you can go home and watch football and eat pizza and have the grandkids and do all of that, but don't forget to water your seed today. Let it begin to do a work. Go back and think about it a little bit. So it's just, what you thinking about? Well, I was thinking about this morning a little bit, letting it stir in me a little bit. Why, everything else is temporal. God's Word is eternal. He did predestinate us to be molded into a person that is more and more like Jesus. You hold the mold by how much of God's Word you choose to believe. You can become as much like Him or rebel against Him as much as you like. He won't force anybody. He won't force us to hear God's Word. He won't force us to be in a Bible-believing situation, a Bible-believing church. He won't force you to feed your faith. He invites you to. And when it comes down to it, when we get to heaven and stand before the Master for the stewardship of this life, the devil won't be an excuse. It'll be between us and Jesus. Why, He conquered the enemy. How do we enjoy the victory? We line up our words with His victory. And then His victory becomes our victory. So we choose to submit to His Word in closing. That's His authority. When the Word comes, you decide to respond to His authority or not. But I'll tell you, as you respond to His God's Word, when you put it in your mouth, He will release His authority in your life. When you receive it and speak it, that releases authority. Why is that important? You take authority over the works of darkness. Say, Satan, you'll not hold me captive. Jesus has set me free. I bind you up in Jesus' name, and I loose the power of God to work in me. That's prayer binding and loosing. That's New Testament truth. You don't have to understand it all. You just need to bind one up and loose the other one. We have to back up our choices, second, with faith actions. That's a seed. That means you're going to do something to be a doer of the Word. Sometimes you got to ask the Lord what that is. If you want your finances to turn around, you want to become a giver. If you want your sickness to turn around, you might need to change some habits and patterns and decisions that you're making. But before you do that, you got to plant the seed of God's Word. He says, I'm healed and whole. Then the Holy Spirit will say, well, stop eating this. Or, you know, one serving of ice cream is one scoop. Buy a smaller scoop. Pastor, why are you saying this? Because I've experienced things like this, okay? I can share them. Why? You start praying for divine health, and your teacher will come alongside and say, look, buddy, you want to keep this? He said, I'm going to give it to you, but if you want to keep it, you're going to line up with keeping it. Why? We're the steward of what God did. So otherwise, what do? We keep having the same problem again and again. Say, well, here I am again, need to lose 50 pounds again. Well, the Holy Spirit's a teacher to help us not have to do it again. Just do it once. You say, oh me. Why? That's one of the most common things we need help with is make right decisions. The third, we confess the Word, but once we've spoken the Word, we make decisions accordingly. Our actions need to line up with God's Word. People say, oh, God's Word is setting me free, and they never come to church. They're probably not hearing it from a preacher. I hear people say, and this, we're in a fallen generation, you know, a lot of people have fallen away. I was going to talk about that a lot today. We run out of time. People fall away from the Word before they fall away from church. When they fall away from church, it's proof they've fallen away from Jesus because He's the Word. So whenever you have a reason you're dealing with it, you just can't be here, it's supposed to bother us. But He knows our heart. And He knows the issues of our heart will preserve us. So if while we're away, we get into His Word, our heart is preserved. We've kept our heart where I started out speaking this morning. Our mind is set on Him. And we take authority over whatever happened that day that it'll not happen the next time. And if we don't take authority, pretty soon we get separated from God's word. And we're really separated from Jesus. And people today are in denial. They say, well, I can study the Bible for myself at home. You can, but he says it's the speaking and the doing of God's word. Hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and being a doer. So you see, we want it easy. We want the express lane. And God said, no, here's the way things are going to work, kids. Do it my way, you get my results. Do it your way, you get no results. That's how God's word is. So I advise you to think like I've learned to think. I just need to buy it all, believe it all, trust him in all of it. And if it's new to me, I'm going to let him work on me, so I choose to believe it. Well, that's the beginning of the transformation process. We got only skin deep there. But we're going to stay there a little while. Now, I know next week, we're going to open the altar for some physical things Lord's been speaking to me about. Why? I'm just going to call some things out that he wants to do. Why, there are things that, you know, we get a doctor's report because we go to the doctor and that's what they're supposed to do, tell us what they see that's wrong. That's a doctor's report. But then we offset it with, what does the Bible say? The Bible says Jesus can heal and did heal everything and he did it for me. Which seed do I want to think about the most? Which path do I really want to live? And sometimes you're doing both. You're doing everything you can to sustain life or be made whole. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I tell people routinely, get your tail to the doctor. Well, I can say, I'm standing in faith and they're coughing and I'm wanting to run away from them or whatever's going on, thinking, okay, you're standing in faith. Go get a pill and quit coughing. You know, here's some cough drops. You know, if you hear me crooping a lot, I've always got a cough drop on the front row and I won't touch you that day. Well, that's common courtesy. Why? It'll open the door for doubt and unbelief. Say, dear God, pastor was coughing on me today. And you go home. So this is practical truth. But the truth is, hearing God's word, meditating on it enough, can change everything. We put up with far too much. Jesus didn't save us to be a handicapped family. He saved us to restore everything that's wrong with us. And I just choose to believe it. If you will, this morning, I want you to stand up. Take somebody's hand if you can, or if you will. If you like the looks of the person next to you, take their hand. If you don't, you stand alone, be the same. We're family, you know. Things we're talking about is the word of our Heavenly Father. That's how he gets his DNA in us to change our lives. And you're special to him this morning. So special, he knows everything that you have need of before you even do. And he's addressing that before you can call him out. I want you to put faith in his name this morning, that transformation begin at the mention of the name of Jesus today, because Jesus is the author, but he's also the finisher of your faith. I'm not willing to give up on anything that God's word says about you. I don't want you to give up on anything either. If somebody's trying to talk you out of it, I'll talk you back into it. You just come to me. Why, I love convincing unbelievers to become a believer in the word of truth. Why, it isn't my word. I can't produce it, but he sure can. And he loves doing it. He loves to show who he is. Heavenly Father, bless your family this morning. We are of the household of faith. We have the DNA of our Heavenly Father that we're speaking over our lives, and your anointing, your oil of gladness rubs off on us in our minds first to change our thinking, and our thinking will change our words, and our words are our supernatural seed that causes the future to unfold according to the things that we have said as we believe on the name of Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you make yourself real to every person this morning. You make yourself real to every family. When I was talking about relationships, Father, I perceived your anointing come into the room. You want to bring the seed for healing and restoration, but it all revolves around believing and doing your word. So, Father, we ask for supernatural help. Father, for those with financial difficulty, I know those seasons come upon, challenges come upon anybody. So, Father, I ask in Jesus' name, give us each the seed we need to plant in our mind, that we can have hope and then faith to turn that thing around. You said you would then bless our deeds. So, Father, when we believe your word and we speak it, you're going to show us something to do that is a deed that turns it all around. Now, Father, I know that applies to a number who have come to a standstill or slid backward financially. Father, I ask your anointing to believe come now in Jesus' name, to begin to soften the edges of our mind that we can be a believer in the truth that sets us free. Now, Father, I thank you for physical health that Jesus paid for on the cross. In 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:5 and throughout the Gospels, Jesus came to heal them all. The only reason he couldn't heal some is they didn't believe on him. Father, we're believers in this house. I ask that you stir faith, that we don't just hope. We don't just say when, but we say, I have believed and therefore I do receive in Jesus' name healing and health in my body. Father, this is the beginning of a breakthrough season. Father, I thank you that the drought is broken. I thank you that the outpouring of your Holy Spirit has come and we can enjoy. Father, I thank you that you wipe away every tear and you replace it with gladness. And Father, we'll be those that sing and talk about your goodness all day long. Father, bless every family this week in an unusual way to prove that you are real, that you are alive, that you are working in them both to will and do your good pleasure from sources unknown, from people yet unheard from. Father, let blessing come. Let relationships grow and change. Let restoration come and the fruit of forgiveness be reconciliation in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.